Today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.41 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you're there on
Hare
the call.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your association in this conference call. Thank you, Prabhuji. You can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text Number 41. Agnir Uvacha. Yattejasaham susumida teja havyam vahe svadvara adyashiktam tam yagniyam panchavidam cha panchabihi svishtam yajurbihi pranatosmi yagnyam. Translation: the fire god said, my dear lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. The five kinds of offerings, according to Yajurveda, are all your different energies, and you are worshipped by five kinds of Vedic hymns. Sacrifice means you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that yajna should be performed for Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu has 1000 popular transcendental names, out of which one name is yajna. It is clearly said that everything should be done for the satisfaction of yajna or Vishnu. All other actions a person may take are only causes for his bondage. Everyone has to perform yajna according to the Vedic hymns. As stated in the Upanishads, fire, the altar, the auspicious full moon, the period of 4 months called Chaturmasya, the sacrificial animal, and the beverage called Soma are necessary requisites, as are the specific Vedic hymns mentioned in the Vedas and composed of 4 letters. One hymn is as follows: Ashra Vayeti Chaturaksharam Astushrausat Iti Chaturaksharam Yajeti Dvabayam Ye Yajamaha. These mantras, chanted according to the Shruti and Smriti literatures, are only to please Lord Vishnu. For the deliverance of those who are materially conditioned and attached to material enjoyment, performing yajna and following the rules and regulations of 4 divisions of society and of spiritual life are recommended. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that by offering sacrifice to Vishnu, one can gradually be liberated. The whole target of life, therefore, is to please Vishnu. Please Lord Vishnu. That is yajna. Any person who is in Krishna consciousness has dedicated his life for the satisfaction of Krishna, the origin of all Vishnu forms, and by offering worship and prasada daily, he becomes the best performer of yajna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in this age of Kali, the only successful performance of yajna or sacrifice is yajnai sankirtanai prayai. The best type of sacrifice is simply to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The yajna is offered before the form of Lord Chaitanya, as other yajnas are offered before the form of Lord Vishnu. These recommendations are found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Moreover, this yajna performance confirms that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishnu himself. As Lord Vishnu appeared as Daksha, appeared at the Daksha Yajna long, long ago, Lord Chaitanya has appeared in this age to accept our Sankirtan Yajna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedhanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Agnir Uvacha Yat Tejasaham Sushumida Teja Havyam Vahe Svadvara Agya Shiktam Tam Yajniyam Panchavidam Cha Panchabihi Svishtam Yajurbihi Pranatosmi Yajnam. The fire god said, My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. The five kinds of offerings according to the Yajurveda are all your different energies, and you are worshipped by five kinds of Vedic hymns. Sacrifice means you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 7th chapter, text number 41. The context here is in Daksha's fire sacrifice after his repentance, after he asked for forgiveness to Lord Shiva, after he asked for forgiveness to Lord Brahma, after Daksha realized his stupidity, and after he was punished by giving a goat's head, now the fire sacrifice has resumed, and this time Lord Vishnu, who is the beneficiary of the fire sacrifice, appeared, and all the assembled men are offering their obeisances and glorifying the Supreme Lord one by one. Indra did, Lord Shiva did, and everyone is one after the other offering their obeisances to the Supreme Lord. So, in this context, it is explained that any yajna means it is to be the beneficiary is the Supreme Lord. Yajna sishta asina santo muchyante sarva kilbishai bhunjate te tvakam papa e pachantyatma karanat. It is said that yajna sishta asina santo muchyante sarva kilbishai. So anything we consume which is not offered to the Supreme Lord, then Shastra says, Bunjate te swakam papa. It is simply, we are consuming the sin. So, we are going to have some sets of reflections to churn this particular shloka and to dive deep into the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramanujacharya, he was in Srirangam. Srirangam was his home base. And from Srirangam, Ramanujacharya used to visit a place called Tirukkoshtiyur. If you have been to South India, this place is between Srirangam and Madurai. If you ever go to South India, please visit this place. There is a temple called Tirukoshtiyur. So this place is where Ramanujacharya's spiritual master used to be there. So Ramanujacharya, from Srirangam to Tirukoshtiyur is around 150 kilometers, close, like, you know, 110 miles or something like that. So he used to walk from Srirangam to meet his spiritual master, to surrender to him and ask him to initiate him. So Ramanujacharya's spiritual master told him, not this time, next time. Not this time, next time. Like that, around 18 times, Ramanujacharya was walking between Srirangam to this place to take the blessings of his spiritual master. So after 18th time, Ramanujacharya's spiritual master finally agreed, okay, fine, I will initiate you. And he initiates them, initiates Ramanujacharya. And at the time of initiation, Ramanujacharya is being told by his spiritual master that the mantra that I am giving you is very, very powerful. And this mantra, when somebody chants, they will definitely go back home, back to Godhead. And if you share this secret with anybody, you'll go to hell. So he got initiated, and Ramanujacharya was so happy, so happy. As soon as the ceremony got over, he offered his obeisances to his spiritual master. He came out of the, you know, fire sacrifice arena. He straight away went to the rooftop of the temple. If you have noticed, South Indian temples, they have this gopuram, they have this tower. So he went on the rooftop of the tower. Even today, when you go there, you can, you know, climb up to that place where Ramanujacharya has climbed. So it's a pretty huge place, and he went there and shouted, hey, all the village men, please come, please come. I would like to share with you a very, very good fortune, very, you know, good news that I've got today. So he called everybody, and all the village men came, because Ramanujacharya was in a very good profile, and he had a very good standing in the society. So everybody came, and Ramanujacharya said, you know what, I'm going to share with you a very important message, which is actually a secret. And this I was blessed to receive from my spiritual master. Anybody who chants this mantra will definitely go back home, back to Krishna. So please chant this mantra attentively. And at that time, it was the mantra that he was initiated with. But we can very safely and with all conviction say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can equate that mantra, and he says that anybody who chants this will go back home, back to God. So all the village men were very happy, because those were the times where, apart from Brahminical community, all the other people were kind of dependent on serving the Brahmanas, and they were not so much qualified to participate in fire sacrifice, participate in any ceremonies directly. They can just be a spectator, or they can be a second line, third line support. They cannot directly get involved in activities which are, you know, in terms of serving the Lord. So, and Ramanujacharya gave an opportunity where every individual can have a personal relationship with the Supreme Lord. So everybody became very happy, right? And he says there is no caste, there is no creed, there is no restriction, there is no problem. Anybody can do, you know, how much ever they want to chant. And in the meanwhile, Ramanujacharya's god brothers they came over there and they said that, "You rascal, you have offended to our spiritual master. You have broken the vow that you just gave few minutes before, and that too after so much of hesitation spiritual master has given you." So they went and complained to Ramanujacharya, spiritual master, and he came in a very furious manner, very, very furious. He got so upset that he came to see Ramanujacharya and said that, "Hey, you know, you have now offended your spiritual master. I took a promise from you that you are not supposed to do things which you agreed that you will not do, that you keep this mantra secretly." So Ramanujacharya started crying and falling at the feet of his spiritual master and said, "My dear Gurudev, I was completely, you know, aware about the mistake that I am doing. I was fully meditating on every word that you said. And you just said, Gurudev, during the initiation, that anyone who chants this mantra will definitely go back to Krishna. And if I share the secret, I will go to, you know, hellish planets." So I was deeply contemplating that if by hundreds and thousands of people getting benefited, just one person going to hell, what difference it would make to the society for me not being here. So I decided that let me go to hell and let so many members of our society go to Krishna. So the moment Ramanujacharya said this, Ramanujacharya's spiritual master got shivering and, you know, shaking. Said, "Oh my God, what a message, what a broad-minded thinking that I didn't have that you had, Ramanuja." And he immediately hugged him and said that, "From now on, you are my spiritual master. By just this one gesture of yours, you have changed me, you have educated me, you have actually opened my eyes." So the reason this reflection is talked about is in Kali Yuga, there are so many people who are performing fire sacrifice for world peace, for fire, rain to come, for rain to stop, for, you know, health of somebody, for wealth of somebody, for so many things. They may still not understanding that fire sacrifice is meant only to please Vishnu. It is not only, it is for, you know, Vishnu. It is, the purpose of the fire sacrifice is to glorify, please and serve the Supreme Lord, and it is only meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. It is not meant for satisfying or pleasing or providing benefits to any individual. So Ramanujacharya, so the uniqueness why somebody is called Acharya is because they break the general routine that has been going and give a perspective by which we make a significant progress in our devotional life. If you see every Acharya in our system of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta or the Vaishnava Paddhati, every Acharya has come and established something substantial, unique, very important, vital for our devotional journey and showed us the way forward. So till Ramanujacharya's time, initiation was like a very secret agenda. In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there is no concept of preaching and Harinam Sankirtan. They are more into, of course, they are prayers, and it is not like our Sankirtan movement, they go out to the streets and dance and sing. But Ramanujacharya actually initiated this preaching spirit. He went to all the different places, request devotees to take part. So the principle that I want to say is that what is considered in Kali Yuga as a fire sacrifice, namesake fire sacrifice, has to be given up. because it has no value unless and otherwise it is done by a bona fide person using bona fide ingredient for a bona fide purpose in a bona fide, in a very authentic arrangement and time and related factors. So it is not a very commonly recommended agenda. For sure, being a Pancharatrik followers, we do fire sacrifice in terms of installation ceremony, initiation ceremony, but this is called Vaishnava Homa. We don't do a fire sacrifice as it used to happen in Dwapara Yuga. So our fire sacrifices are also very limited, done by a qualified men who are trained, who are educated on the importance of them. Otherwise, by and large, we are encouraged to take part in the Sankirtan movement by doing book distribution and doing Harinam Sankirtan and by doing food for life. So these are called our Sankirtan, our Yajna. So Srila Prabhupada, understanding our mindset, understanding our frame of mind, has encouraged that any temple, any community, any preaching program where these three things are happening. Number one, Harinam Sankirtan. Number two, book distribution. And number three, food for life. Any community, any temple where these three things are happening on a regular basis, there will not be any problem in that community and the community will flourish. So our first reflection is to understand that the fire sacrifice or the sacrifice for this Kali Yuga or that is recommended or that is encouraged is that we give up all the other bogus, fake, unrelated so-called yajnas that so-called brahmanas try to take advantage of our innocence and let us involve. Somebody says that you do this fire sacrifice, you'll get this, you'll get child. You do this fire sacrifice, you'll get rain. You do this fire. They are all true. I mean, this is not that they are fake. They are all true. But the point is, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that if the fire sacrifices are not meant to please Vishnu in the right perspective and done by a right person using the right ingredients, then it will be Shrama Evahi Kevalam. So the Shrama Evahi Kevalam is a very important point. It will be all simply waste of time. Your all endeavor for doing their fire sacrifice, if they are not satisfying the Supreme Lord, then what is the value? In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yajñārthāt karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartvam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samacharaha. He says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, Yajñārthāt karmano anyatra, Yajñārthāt karmano, which means the work done only for the sake of satisfying Vishnu is to be performed. Anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Anything else, any other activities. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. So hence, Krishna was telling Arjuna, please perform your prescribed duties for Lord's satisfaction, and in that way you will remain unattached and free from bondage. So our first reflection hence is about the difference between yajna in the material world currently that is happening vis-a-vis what yajna Acharya has performed. In this material world, the yajna is being done in the name of devotion, and eventually they go to hell by not doing correctly. But what Ramanujacharya did is what everybody thought, that by his action he will go to hell, but in turn he made a transformation in people's life, including his own spiritual master. So the perspective is that sometimes we don't understand the activities of an Acharya, but an Acharya is the one who puts his life to save all of us. You see, Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj said that until and otherwise everybody in the community, society gets delivered I would like to make sure that I deliver them before I come to your abode, spiritual, you know, to the spiritual abode. So this is our first reflection. The second reflection is from the perspective that many times people perform sacrifice to demigods for getting temporary results. So these demigods like Indra, Agni and all the other demigods assembled, now they are confessing here. What are they confessing? They're confessing, my dear Lord, if anybody thinks we are powerful and they need to know the power is coming from you. Agni is saying, my illumination or whatever the capacity to illuminate or in the blazing fire comes from you. So that's why Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that if anybody worships demigods and ask them for some personal favor, Krishna says they are fools, because actually whatever the demigod would sanction, they sanction on my authority. And anybody who derides me as an ordinary human being is also a fool. Avajananti mam mooda manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. A similar point is spoken by Chitraketu in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam. In the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, Chitraketu is very nicely explaining his realization after he got darshan of Lord Sankarsana. That time he is making a point. Those who worship demigods are animals in human form of life. So he says that if we do not realize the real configuration or the constitution of this spiritual abode, we may think the demigods are powerful, demigods are easily pleased, demigods can provide our materialistic things. So especially those come from an Indian upbringing. Until, in other words, we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's purport, for our understanding, God means every God that we, under the roof, that we can think of. Sometimes we become so sentimental that we are afraid, what if I don't worship this God, I will be punished. What if I don't worship that God, I will be punished. What if I don't do this for, I will be punished. So we get so confused, and all our worships used to be on only one perspective, that what if I don't worship, what will happen to me? So it was a very mixed and a confused arrangement on understanding God consciousness that came in the Hindu community or so-called, you know, Indian upbringing. So Srila Prabhupada gave a very clear clarity, because Krishna gave that clarity to Arjuna. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam speaks. That is what Bhagavad Gita speaks. And here you see what Agni Deva is telling. You just read, must have read a couple of days before, what Indra has said, what Lord Shiva has said, what Brahma has said. And what they are saying, that I am getting energy, I am, you know, getting the necessary power for my function because of you, your favor. So hence, the second reflection is to understand that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we have no obligation to worship the demigods. We have no responsibility to take care of their offerings or oblations if we are properly serving the Supreme Lord nicely. Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly says that we are actually indebted to many, many people. We are indebted to Devas. We are indebted to Rishis. We are indebted to Buddhas, Buddha Ganas. We are indebted to Raja. We are indebted to Kinkaras. So all of them we are indebted, and we start repaying their debts. then we won't be able to repay everybody's debts. We are indebted to Pitrus. So he says, the Bhagavatam says, that Deva Rishi Budapta Pitrunam Nranam. Na Kinkaro. We are indebted to Kinkara. So many people we are indebted. And all the debts can at single pointedly get, you know, cleared when we serve Mukunda. Sarvatmanaham Sharanam Saranyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartyam. So if anybody is serving Mukunda, then they don't need to worry about offering their oblations to any other person. So the reflection of second reflection is that any time when we come in contact with the situation of giving offering sacrifice to demigod and demigod alone, if that sacrifice is done independent of Krishna, that sacrifice is done without understanding that Krishna is the beneficiary, the sacrifice is done without coming in contact with the Supreme Lord and making Him the beneficiary, then actually the sacrifice is an insult. A demigod being a very dutiful servant of the Supreme Lord does not accept, and in turn he gets offended. So we have in India, you know, we have this Ganesh festival, we have this Dashara festival, we have a lot of Indian festivals where nowadays it has become a opportunity for political agenda. So now every political party has their own ceremonies being planned to, you know, get their own mileage. So Shastra is very strongly condemned. Even if you do it for a very genuine purpose, if you worship a demigod independent of Krishna, the demigod will be upset. The principle is, if you under, you know, glorify somebody, or if you over glorify a devotee, both are an insult. A demigod is a very nice devotee of the Supreme Lord. So if you over glorify a demigod as somebody supreme, it's an insult, and it's an offense. So the second principle hence is, in our understanding of worshipping demigods, we are expected to worship them as Krishna's servant. And whenever we come in front of them, we visit the temple, we are expected to ask for their blessings so that you can engage nicely in Krishna's service. Rather than asking that, if you ask for anything else, and to get that you glorify Him as supreme, then rather than Him giving benedictions, the demigod will be upset. So Bhagavatam 11.0.0.5.41 says, Devarishi Budapta Nrinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayam Rani Charajan Sarvatmanaya Saranam Saranyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartyam. Srila Prabhupada was very, very, you know, clear. He says, anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind or forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's a small catch here. The catch here is that many times, especially we as a practicing devotees, we try to quote this verse saying that if I do devotional service, I don't need to do obligations. So we stop serving our family, we stop serving our, you know, traditional cultural things. So the intent, the message here is that rather than stopping them, you try to direct them in such a way that they are done as devotional service. If you want to celebrate Ganesh Chaturthi at your house, please celebrate, but celebrate in a manner that Ganesh is a great devotee of the Lord. If you want to celebrate any other event, you celebrate in such a way that they are devotees of the Lord and appreciate them, glorify them, like how you glorify Vaishnava. Every day we celebrate, you know, Guru Puja, and in Guru Puja all we do is only glorify Prabhupada. But we glorify Prabhupada as a great servant of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when we, because in Indian ecosystem, we are bound with so many obligations from our traditional family culture, in-laws, and you know, village, community. So we cannot just do certain things on a hypocritical way. So how do we do it? And what is the right way of doing it? Is to go on, if you go to Ganesh temple, if you go to, you know, Durga temple, if you go to any temple or any ceremony, any functions, you can do them as an offering to Krishna, as a glorification of that particular personality as a Vaishnava, and plead him, please engage me in your service and please glorify him as a devotee of the Lord. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking in the Mayapur lawn or whatever, he was in the fields of Mayapur. So he was coming along with his disciples and suddenly he stopped. When he stopped, there were some group of ants which were going one after the other. And Srila Prabhupada stopped and pointed to that, you know, ants going in the, you know, in a line. So he asked the disciples, so what do you think when you see this? So the disciples couldn't know what to answer, because every time Srila Prabhupada has a new perspective, and you know, he comes with different situations to teach his disciples. So the devotees were just, you know, not able to respond. So Srila Prabhupada says, the way these ants are for us, how insignificant these ants for us, we are insignificant for these demigods. So we should respect the demigods. So the principle here is not to disrespect them. The principle here is to how to properly respect them. And here Agni Deva is confessing where is his source of energy. So in our own personal lives, this I am personally sharing, because of late we see devotees trying to improperly understand the Siddhanta and apply some things at home which brings in confusion at home. I very clearly remember when I was new in my Krishna conscious days, when I was in my school days, I had this confusion. I didn't know how to respect a demigod, because I used to hear in the class the demigods and Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I used to go home. We are from a traditional Orthodox South Indian Brahmin community. My father and mother, they used to have a very elaborate worship of various demigods at home, even till today. So we have a fantastic, very, you know, sophisticated altar with so many demigods. We have close to 100 pictures and so many things. You know, my father used to have a elaborate worship. And what I did, I went, after I learned Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and, you know, got some little bit of juice in devotional service, I went and set up a separate altar. In the same DT room, I set up a separate altar. I would never face demigod side of the side. I used to only worship these altar, only offer here, only pay obeisances here, as if these demigods are some, you know, some debauchee. So after a point in time, when I got to know more, when I got to interact with devotees, when I got to realize with devotees, I thought how stupid I was. And I was not only hurting my family, I was actually hurting the demigods themselves. I was, you know, actually offending them. So then we start kind of, you know, worked around, combined the altar. So we cannot go back to people and say that, hey, don't worship demigods. But we can actually educate them how to worship demigods. So this Srimad Bhagavatam verses are helping us to make that offering, make that, you know, approach. So our second reflection hence is that anytime in our devotional life we have to come across a demigod, we need to better respect him, we need to glorify him as a devotee of the Lord, and ask him to bless us to engage in devotional service. But else, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport in 6th canto, 16th chapter, verse number 38 through 42, only on demigod worship. He says, those who worship demigods are animals in human form of life. He says, benedictions of demigods are short-lived. Demigods are just sparks of the Supreme Lord. So in seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, hence, Sridhagnya, whose intelligence is lost? Whose intelligence is lost? If somebody thinks demigods is the benefactor, he's the one who is offering us all the benefits, he says his intelligence is lost. All the wish fulfilled by the demigods are also sanctioned by Krishna only. So it'll be an insult to demigod if you worship them as Ishvara. So that's why Bhagavatam finally says, Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama va udarati, Tivrena, Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta, Purusham Param. Now, the third reflection is one step further. If we are not even supposed to worship demigods as Ishwara, how do we even agree to the concept considering ourselves as Ishwara, as monists, as Mayavadis claim? So the propensity now in the people who subscribe to the ideology of Mayavar, or even to an extent the so-called scientists, they say we are the creators. We are God, we are intelligent. We are the one who bring in so many transformations. What was not possible earlier, we are making it possible. So what to speak of someone considering himself as God? What to speak of being greedy and lusty and approach God for that? And what to speak of forgetting that everything comes from Krishna? So if somebody does an activity thinking that he is God or he is a controller, then there is this, royal road to hell. One scientist happened to meet God. So the scientist said that, God, we don't need you anymore. We have figured out a way by which we can do creation ourselves. So the Supreme Lord said, wow, that's a good news. So you're saving my so much of resources. Can you please demonstrate? So the scientist said that, our formula is such that from dirt we can create human beings. He said, go ahead and do it. So the scientist bowed down to pick up a handful of dirt and said that, now I'm going to create. Supreme Lord said, sir, wait a minute. Please get your dirt. These are all belonging to me. These are all my dirt. The message here is that whatever scientists proclaim, they are just manipulating earth, water, fire, air, ether, which belongs to the nature. And the nature in turn serves the Supreme Lord. We can't create. We can't do anything to do them. We can just do manipulation. So just by manipulating some things, we are thinking ourselves to be God. And that's the problem Indra used to have. That's the problem Brahma sometimes had. That's the problem so many demigods had. That for a moment, because they were controlling some things in their limited capacity, they start to assume, they start to think that they are supreme. And that propensity is also challenged in this shloka. The propensity is, anytime we think, I am Ishwara, I am Purusha, I am the beneficiary, that is challenged here. Because there can be only one Purusha, which is Krishna. Rest, everybody else is Prakriti, who is meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So Purusha, Krishna, Ekala Ishwara. Krishna is the only Akela, single Ishwara. Rest, everybody else is his energies. So the third reflection hence is, if we have to have the understanding to function in the society efficiently, we need to understand we are never a controller, we are always controlled. But the point of secret here is, the moment we realize we are servant of Krishna and we are Krishna's devotees' servants, and we realize that we are Krishna's devotees' servants' servant, then what happens is Krishna let us control him. So this is a very interesting, it's a kind of an oxymoron. The point is, Krishna is the controller and everybody is controlled is Siddhanta. But the moment we get to realize this point and serve Krishna nicely, who in turn will encourage us to serve his devotees nicely, who in turn will encourage to serve his own Vaishnavas nicely, then when we actually serve them nicely, then what happens? That person who is our controller gets controlled by that Vaishnava. That is why Krishna is telling Arjuna, my dear Lord, Arjuna was asking Krishna in Padma Puran, you are so glorious, you are so wonderful. He was giving some offerings. That's when Krishna is responding, my dear Arjuna, more glorious than me is my devotees. And they are so glorious that everything happening in this world is happening because of them. The sun is rising, the moon is rising, the climates are changing. Everything is happening because of my devotees. And finally Krishna is telling Arjuna that it is not only these, even I am existing because of my devotees. So that's why I say it's oxymoron. Like, you know, Krishna is the supreme, but somebody, if you can call superior to Krishna, to whom Krishna gets controlled, is his sweet devotees. That is why Krishna always wants to spend his good quality time with his devotees. And the highest and the topmost devotee is Srimati Radharani. And Krishna go crazy just to be with Srimati Radharani. What to speak of being with Srimati Radharani? It is said that Krishna gets goosebumps when the pallu, the top cloth, the covering cloth of Srimati Radharani touches Krishna's body. So whenever we decorate the reedis in the altar, we are not decorating them to... If you see every altar where Radha Krishnas are there, the standard is that Radharani's cloth touches Krishna's cloth. Because Krishna gets so energetic, so much enthusiasm, he gets excited, he gets in trance by that small touch of Srimati Radharani. And he is sold to them. He is completely surrendered to such devotees. So that is Vrindavan. And that is the superlativeness. So the principle, the third realization is, anybody who is thinking themselves to be the controller, they are controlled. Anybody who completely realizes that they are actually controlled and they are subservient of Krishna's devotees, they become the controller in one sense. Krishna will sanction whatever that person says. Krishna will do whatever that person provides. Krishna will support whatever the opinion of that person. That is why the words emanating from the lips of the acharyas, they are so powerful that they can actually transform our consciousness. So today onwards, we have this Julan Yatra festival. Why Julan Yatra festival is very significant? There are many, many leelas. You can go on into the, you know, a leela part of it. But the Siddhanta part of it is, Krishna is in a very transcendental mood because he is playing with Srimati Radharani and singing Krishna. When Krishna is with Srimati Radharani next to each other, Krishna completely is in an intoxicated state. And then in that intoxicated state, he does not see any discrimination and he profusely give his love. So from today till Radhashtami, we have a very interesting period. The reason is, today is Balram, you know, Julan Yatra, and on Saturday we have Balram Jayanti, next week we have Janmashtami, and in the month of September we have Radhashtami. It is said that it is Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. The Sambandha aspect of it is, in Balram Jayanti, Balram is Adi Guru. Balaram is our eternal spiritual master. We have to take blessings from Balaram. Without the blessings of Balaram, without the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu, without the blessings of the spiritual master, the spiritual life has become null and void. So, this Balaram Jayanti Utsav actually starts from today, because from today onwards, the mood of Vrindavan Dham, the mood of, you know, loving relationship with Krishna, the mood of serving the Supreme Lord, the mood of pleasing the Supreme Lord is set. That is why Narottam Das Thakur is singing, Radha Krishna Pranamora Jugala Kishore. He says, finally, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dase Ranudas Seva Abhilasha Kare. I have a very strong desire to serve you, my dear Supreme Lord Radha and Krishna. So he is pleading. So this mood is set from today. I mean, it's there all the time, but each of the every festivity reminds us of some mood. So Narottam Das Thakur's mood, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas have set up this mood on, you know, this day onwards, especially on the Balaram Jayanti day where this Julan Yatra is going to culminate, is a time where we can start reflecting on our Sambandha with the Supreme Lord. So that festival helps us to establish the Sambandha, because Balaram helps us to connect our relationship with Krishna. And Janmashtami is Abhideya. That's a festival where we reap the Sambandha benefit. What I gain, I act on it. So in Janmashtami, we serve the Supreme Lord. See, we serve Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Anila Madhava, Radha Rasa Bihari, all the Ishta Devatas that we have. So the point is, the Janmashtami celebration is Abhideya, and the result, Prayojana, is Radhashtami, where we get the dearmost, topmost, superlative prema that Srimad Radharani has got, and by serving, by worshipping, we are getting the result of it. The point of saying Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana is not sentimental. It is to say that these three festivals are important for Gaudiya Vaishnava to invoke this consciousness, to remind us of our constitutional responsibilities, so that we somehow elevate ourselves, operate on Sambandha, work, you know, be conscious on Abhideya, and eventually reap the Prayojana. And this is a spiral. And this is not a Boolean logic, this is a process. So these three festivals and these upcoming, you know, 5 to 6 weeks, we can meditate on the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord and try to reorganize our life in such a way that we always remain controlled, dependent, dedicated to Krishna's special devotees, and also remember that all that we get from Krishna. So with this, I end here. I would like to summarize our conversation. There are three sets of realizations that we spoke about. Realization number one is about the real yajna versus the so-called yajna of this material world. The real yajna in this material world, especially in the current Kali Yuga context, is about chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we spoke about the example of Ramanujacharya, who was bestowed with the benediction of chanting and eventually going back, but was warned that if he is going to open the secret, he will be punished or he will go to hell. Ramanujacharya took it upon himself. He transformed everybody else's life, taking risks on his side, and eventually in turn transformed his own spiritual master. So what is apparently considered as a simple chanting process is the greatest fire sacrifice, greatest yajna for this modern age, and what is considered as so-called sacrifice that we all do are just simply some humbug external things. So hence we need to give utmost importance to activities which are glorifying the Supreme Lord in the form of Sankirtan Yajna. And Sankirtan Yajna in our movement is done by Harinam Sankirtan, by Brihat Mridanga book distribution, by Food for Life, and for sure our own personal sadhana. So this is our first reflection. The second reflection was about understanding who is the beneficiary and comparison of sacrifice to demigods vis-a-vis to the Supreme Lord. And we spoke from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita how worship to demigods is actually inappropriate and not so much in the correct mood that we have to be in. Worship to demigods without bringing Krishna in the picture is an insult to them. And we spoke how Krishna, how Srila Prabhupada, how Srimad Bhagavatam explains that these prayers and these benedictions of the demigods are short-lived. And in fact, Chitraketu is going ahead and explaining those who only depend on demigods for their benedictions, they are animals in human form of life, which is a very powerful statement. And hence, we need to remember that these demigods are supposed to be respected as Krishna's devotees and worship them accordingly and offer necessary respect to them. The third aspect is, if demigods are supposed to be worship that way, what to speak of conducting ourselves? If we conduct ourselves as Ishvara, thinking ourselves as a controller, then we will be penalized, we will be punished. So hence, we should always keep our mood as being controlled and being the subservient of the Supreme Lord's servant, and which in turn will help us to meditate back on the Supreme Lord in the right frame of mind and eventually go back home, back to Godhead. And to help us do this, the next set of 5 to 6 weeks, we have festivities like Balram Jayanti, Julan Yatra, Janmashtami, Radhashtami. So these all festivals are meant to invoke our consciousness in such a way that we elevate from animalistic consciousness to human consciousness, to devotee consciousness, to pure devotee consciousness, to Paramahamsa consciousness. So we need to elevate our consciousness, and these festivals help us remind and organize ourselves that way. And we said that Balram Jayanti helps us for, re-establishing our Sambandha with the Supreme Lord. And Janmashtami helps us in understanding about the Abhideya part of it. And eventually, Radhashtami is about the Prayojana. So we thank Srila Prabhupada to have given us this opportunity to be part of this wonderful Sankirtan movement where things are clear, very nicely classified, and not very sentimental and hazy. So we once again thank you all for being part of this wonderful morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. And if there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for a very, very wonderful class. I really liked how you set the mood for the upcoming festivals how you told us about, Balram Jayanti as being the Sambandha and Janmashtami as Abhideya and Radhashtami as Prayojana. I've never looked at it from that perspective over the years, but thank you very much, Prabhuji, for that enlightenment. As you were speaking, Prabhuji, I just missed a few small points when you were talking. When you were saying about Ramanujacharya, he used to walk to which village, Prabhuji, and what was the name of
that? That name of the place is called Thirukkoshtiyur. It's a Tamil name, actually. It's called, this place is from Srirangam, Trichinopoly, towards Madurai. This is on the way. If you can, you can find out, there's a place called Thirukkoshtiyur. Koshti, Koshtiyur. Thiru means Sri. Thirukkoshtiyur. This is in the district of, Pudukkottai.
And what was the name of his spiritual master?
I was trying to recollect that. I didn't want to make a mistake. So, Ramanujacharya's spiritual master is Periyanambi, if I'm right. So, I may have to, you know, cross-check. So, his spiritual master used to be in Trikoshur at that time. It's actually a very interesting episode. Maybe sometime we can discuss about it. So, Ramanujacharya's spiritual master, who eventually got realization from Ramanujacharya's behavior, and Ramanujacharya, one of his god brother, or you know, one of the other members of the community, eventually came to Ramanujacharya for learning, and Ramanujacharya is teaching about the principle of Saranagati to them. There's a disciple by name Dasarathi. So Ramanujacharya's disciple, his name is Dasarathi, and he was once again, going through a similar experience. And in that experience, like how here the power of the holy name was established, in the experience, in giving that experience of to Dasarathi, Ramanujacharya taught him the principle of Sarvadharman Paridhyacha. It's a fantastic pastime. Maybe Krishna willing, sometime we can discuss that. So, to answer you, the name of Ramanujacharya's spiritual master, if I am right, is about, I couldn't just recollect now. I think Periyanambi. Maybe I'll tell you at another class.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Is that a Goshti Purna?
Yeah, Goshti Purna.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Goshti Purna. Hari Bol.
Thank you so much. Goshti Purna. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pramod Kumataji. Thank you very much, Ramji Prabhu.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your Seva. Prabhuji, today you inspire us that how our mood should be to serve Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. From today, your realization, you inspire us that how sincerely we have to chant our attentively coming festival, Balram Jayanti, Lord Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Sambandha Prajana, and Abhinanda. Prabhuji, you give such a nice story of Ramanujacharya, that how we serve Vaishnava, whatever we hear from senior Vaishnava, we have to teach, we have to guide them. Prabhuji, thank you very much for your wonderful association. Every day you are inspiring us, guide us, correcting us. Dhanvat Pranam to your Seva. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you so much for being part of this morning Sangha. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm coming to Baltimore on Saturday. I hope I'll be there for Balram Jayanti there. I'll be there on Saturday, Sunday, Monday in Baltimore.
That would be nice. Are you going to stay?
Yeah, I'll be staying in Vishnupriya's house.
Huh?
I'll be staying there in a devotee's house there. And